want to say again that our hope is in you alone. We thank you that you proved yourself so abundantly faithful to Mike, as we've heard. Reassure us and speak to us that you will also prove yourself utterly faithful to us as we look into your word, to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, please turn, if you would, again to Psalm 27. That's page 514. And as normal, an outline of this talk will go up on the screen, and the notebooks and pencils are there in the seat pocket in front of you if you find it a help, as I do, to take notes. And let me say, it's a great, great joy to me to be speaking again at 6:30. I haven't done that for a long time, as it happens, and I'm really looking forward to speaking tonight and then a little later on in this short series. The Bible is so rich. It's so rich that you can take just one or two verses, study them carefully, and learn an immense amount from them. Of course, that isn't the only way to study the Bible. There's a discussion going on between Sel Ichigo and me. Sel prefers to look at the Bible in larger chunks, to study whole chapters at a time, whereas I prefer to pore over a few verses with a magnifying glass and get every last drop of goodness from them. Well, both approaches are valid. But today, and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to enjoy this magnificent psalm, Psalm 27, in small, and I hope tasty, portions. But let's look through Sel's eyes. Let's look at the whole psalm, first of all. It's a psalm of experience and of urgent prayer. It begins with experience. I wonder if you could echo from your experience what the psalm writer says, because he says in verses 1 to 6, God has protected me and helped me in the past. And then the psalmist draws a conclusion, he will surely do so again. That's immediately put to the test because in verses 7 to 12, the psalmist says, I'm in the middle of a real crisis in which I feel under attack, and I feel rather abandoned by God. Perhaps some of us in this church family are feeling that right now. Perhaps you are feeling that. But the psalm ends on a calm note. In verses 13 and 14, the psalmist says, I can trust that God will prove faithful. Exactly what we've been hearing from Mike this evening. So the psalm is very realistic about the buffetings that we who love God suffer, but it begins and ends with confidence in God. And it's this treat which we have in store for us over the next 4 weeks at 6:30. So let's get down to the detail. Out with the magnifying glass. Look with me at the text as I read again. I know it's been read for us once. Verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. So let me ask, are there people you're afraid of? The psalmist wouldn't say in verse 1, whom shall I fear? And again in verse 1, of whom shall I be afraid, if there weren't people he was tempted to fear? So are there people you're afraid of? For a number of us, it's someone in the family. Perhaps it's your dad. You love him, but he's so very hard on anything he sees as a weakness in you, and you feel he's harsh with you. Or for some, it's your husband. When you're with other people, he's charming, and no one would guess how at home he can be so brutal with his words or his actions or both. Or for some, it may be your sister or brother. She's always wanted to dominate you and control you. And you know that she still finds ways to hurt you if you step out of line. For others of us, it's not someone in the family we fear, it's someone at work. It may be your boss. Mike was saying how his bosses and his own values were just getting further and further apart. Or it may be your boss is always finding fault with you, always criticizing you. It may be a colleague who seems to take a positive delight in pointing out any mistakes that you've made or in belittling your work. Well, let me ask again, are there people who are against you? Do you see that in verse 3? It feels like an army encamped against me. Or again in verse 3, war rising up against me. So do you feel there are people like that who are against you? It may be for you a neighbor who only ever speaks to you to complain about something. And when you try to be civil and say good morning, they simply ignore you. Or it may be more painfully still, someone who used to be a friend, with whom you used to be close, who's now sent you one or more nasty emails, and you could hardly believe how bitter they were. So that we can fully hear what God is saying to us through this psalm, we're going to take just 30 seconds to think, and if you're taking notes, you might like to write down the name. Who am I afraid of? Or who do I feel is against me? Okay, so this person or these people, what do they seem like to you? The Bible is so realistic, and this psalm gives three pictures of what these people who are against us can seem like to us. And first, they can seem like wolves. Look at the beginning of verse 2. When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh. This is a picture of an Israelite man walking through the open country, going about his business, and suddenly he's confronted with a wild animal. With open jaws, slathering at the mouth, clearly wanting to pounce on the man and tear him apart. There are quite a lot of stories in the Old Testament like that. And that's how people who are against us can seem to us. Especially, perhaps, when the fight is over money. I think of two people I knew who were in London. They were partners in a small solicitor's firm, and at first they worked together famously. But then there were arguments over whether one was pulling his weight, and then accusations about shoddy work, and they started accusing each other over dishonesty, and by the end they were mucking up dirt and pointing out dirt in each other's private lives. They really wanted to tear each other apart. Or people who are against us, says this psalm, can seem like enemies. He calls them halfway through verse 2, my adversaries and foes. They may not always have been, but they have become so now. Those of you who are at school, perhaps you had someone who was your good friend. You were always hanging around together. But now she's turned against you. She's rude to you if ever you try to talk to her. She makes cutting remarks about you in public and mocks your mannerisms. It can happen in marriage. Someone who was your very best friend, to whom you gave your whole life, has shouted at you and rejected you and said unprintable things about you. They become our enemies, and we may well be afraid of them. Or those who are against us can seem like a whole army. Look at verse 3. It seems like an army encamped against me. Or again, verse 3, like war rising up against me. I think of a woman who was in a local drama group. She gave her all for that group. When she wasn't acting, she was collecting props or distributing publicity or drumming up her friends to come along to the performances. And then something went wrong. I never fully understood what it was. But the other members of the group just made life miserable for her. All of the others seemed to turn against her. Emails and phone conversations were all about her and how awful she was. And she felt the whole company was against her, like an army. Well, I wonder if you can identify with the psalm writer's experience that there are people who are against you, or people whom you fear. And they seem sometimes like wolves or enemies, or a whole army deployed against you. And in contrast to this, in glorious contrast, the writer sets the Lord. To describe the Lord, the psalm again uses images. So what does the Lord seem like to you? That's a question to ask of this psalm. And then pray that it will be the same in our understanding and our experience. And first, says God through this psalm, the Lord is like light that brings safety. Look at how the psalm begins in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, light in Scripture can mean many things. It's always a positive image. And here it means light that brings salvation, light that brings safety. The Lord is my light and my salvation means the Lord is my light that brings salvation to me. I wonder if as a child you were afraid of the dark. Perhaps you still are. And as you walked home in the dark, it seemed as if someone might jump out at you from every driveway or from behind every bush or building. And oh, how marvelous it was to come home, to see the front door open and the light streaming out. The light meant safety. And the psalm says that when we're afraid, when people are against us, when the world we live in seems dark, the Lord is our light, the light that brings safety. I remember when I was in my teens, maybe I was 15 or 16, and my best friend turned against me. It was a very painful time in my life. And I turned to the Bible. I wasn't even a Christian at the time. But I turned to the Bible, and for some reason, to the Psalms. And I found immense comfort in them. God spoke to me through the Bible, and I began to see the light that banishes darkness and brings safety. And if you feel that the world around you is very dark at the moment and that people are against you, the best thing you can do is to turn to the Bible. And I think especially to the Psalms. Partly because, as in this psalm, the Bible is so realistic about what we're up against. And partly because the Bible has so much to say about God and his reassuring goodness to us. The Lord is like light that brings safety. And then says the psalm, he's like an impregnable castle. Look at the second half of verse 1. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Old Testament times, just as in medieval times, in this country, people would build a fortified tower or area, often high on a hill or a mountain. And when the enemy attacked, everyone would crowd into the stronghold and be safe. That's the picture here. The Lord is like my fortified stronghold. When I take refuge in him, I've nobody and nothing to fear. Perhaps your enemies at the moment are not so much people as doubts. You're beginning to wonder whether Christianity is really true. Perhaps you've been kidding yourself in believing it. Or maybe your doubts are about yourself. You wonder whether God can really accept you after all the bad things you've done recently. Someone said that to one of the staff here only just a week or so ago. That's the time to give yourself to worship with other Christians and to prayer. People who feel like this, and it happens to most of us at some time, just as it happened to Mike, often give up coming to church or to Deeper or to house group, as Mike did. That's like seeing the fortified stronghold and running in the opposite direction away from it. No, it's going to the Lord in prayer. It's coming to the Lord together with other Christians in worship or in study midweek that's getting firmly into the stronghold and being secure. So if we go to the Lord when we're fearful, if we turn to the Bible and to worship with other Christians when we're under attack, what's the result? What can we expect to happen? Well, let's look in these last minutes at what the Bible says in answer to that question. This psalm says, my enemies have stumbled. Look at verse 2. When evildoers assail me like a wolf to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. And the Hebrew actually is in the past tense. My enemies have stumbled and fallen. That was the psalmist's experience. And it's been my experience. All Christians are under attack sometimes. And Christian leaders are especially under attack. It's my prayer that many of you who come to this service will, in due course, become Christian leaders. Some of you are that already. But if you do lead for Christ, either as a full-time Christian worker or, for example, in your workplace, you will come under attack. But my experience is what the psalmist says here, that those who have really gone for me have normally stumbled and fallen. What frequently happens is that they begin by validly pointing out weaknesses in me, because of course I, like anybody, have many weaknesses. And then they overreach themselves. They go too far. And if I keep close to the Lord, trusting in his light and his salvation, fleeing to him as my stronghold, normally those who've been attacking me have gone too far, have overreached themselves, and then people have stopped supporting them. So they've stumbled and fallen. That was the psalm writer's experience. And the second thing he could say was, I am confident. Look now at verse 3. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. In fact, the Hebrew says, yet I am being confident. This is not self-confidence. Far from it. I'm under attack. I'm tempted to feel very afraid, says the psalmist. But it is confidence in God, the confidence a child has with his father. A few weeks ago, in the all-age time at the 10:45 service, Zoe Edwards, that's Chris Edwards' daughter, was blindfolded. There was a chair up here on the dais, but it was being moved around, and she didn't know whether it would be there to sit on. Now, we were playing a game, and I was deputed to tell her to sit down. But she didn't trust me. She wasn't sure. So I can't remember who was leading. Was it you? Somebody was, and said, well, okay, so let her father come. And Chris came instead of me and told me it was safe to sit down. She was still blindfolded, but she trusted him. So she sat down. She was confident in her dad. And so it is with us. With you, if you're feeling under attack at the moment, if you're feeling that people are getting at you, or doubts about the Christian faith are battering you, or if you're beginning to feel afraid, God is your light. You're safe with him. God is your stronghold. You're protected when you're in him. God is your father. You can be confident in him. It may feel as if the world is very dark, It may seem as if you're walking blindfold through it, but it's all a question of to whom you'll turn for help. It's all a question of whom you will trust. And as our experience grows, as we clock up more and more times when God has proved himself faithful in the bad times, so we'll put ourselves into his hands and trust him. Be confident in him. I wrote this while I was on holiday this week. And then I came back here on Saturday. And for me, it's never a good thing to open a letter, if it's a difficult letter, just before I go to sleep. And this was right the last thing I did on Saturday night. I came in here getting something, and I saw there was a letter in my pigeonhole. And I made the fatal mistake of opening it. And it was a very difficult letter to face. And so I went back to bed, or went to bed. And I lay there in bed saying, Lord, what is it I'm preaching on Sunday night? Oh yes, it's about being under attack. And what is it that that psalm says? It's about trusting you. I wish I could say that I went to sleep like that. Catherine would tell you that wasn't true. I had to put the light on and read a little bit more and pray a little bit more and trust a little bit more. But we will find that if we trust this God who is light and who is a stronghold, in the end, our enemies will stumble, and we will stand firm, safe, within the stronghold who is the Lord.